All right, we're back now with the Beer Pod with Tim Kearns. And, Coach, welcome back.
Thank you, Rick.
Now, the Beer Pod, for those who don't know, we started this a couple of weeks ago on Connections. And the Beer Pod is in memory of, in memoriam to, and in honor of Liam Flanagan, who was a former student of mine. He was a son of Tom Flanagan, who taught at Gloucester High School. And Liam, also a very good friend of yours and a brother-in-law.
He's my brother-in-law.
And Liam had a blog?
It was a post on the bridge.
On the bridge.
It was weekly, sometimes biweekly.
Corey Kukru's site. Okay.
Yes.
And that was so that was a video.
It was video. We filmed him downstairs.
It was called a beer snob.
Well, he was the beer snob.
He was the beer snob. Okay.
And we filmed it downstairs in his basement. It was finished, and it had a bar. And so he and I and his brother Tom would get together, and we would film them. And I had the good fortune of, as I think we mentioned in the last, the good fortune of being in a number of them with him, lending my growing of the of craft beers. And we had a lot of fun with it. We really
well, that's
did.
The intent here.
Yeah.
The intent is to have some fun, have a little tasting from time to time, talk with people, and get some history. I mean, you're being a history teacher, it ties in beautifully with this.
Well, I almost brought over one of my good friends is from Connecticut, and he came back home, and he stopped at Treehouse, one of the best craft brewers in the country, and he brought back a case of different beers, and he allowed me to take four or five of them, and I've already enjoyed several of them.
So you can teach me how to taste at some point.
And I almost brought one tonight. And so next week,
okay.
I will.
One of the things that amazed me, I was at Cappy's on Route 114 recently looking for a particular wine for my wife. And I happened upon the craft beer section at Cappy's. I was blown away.
Yeah, it's one of the best, and it's actually, in my estimation, it has actually gotten better over the last probably 6 or 8 months. There is an American craft beer side, and then if you go on the other side of the aisle, it's all the European.
Oh.
Style
really
beers. Yeah,
oh my.
And which is kind of cool the way they separate it, so it makes it much easier finding particular mm-hmm. brews, particular styles, and it is quite extensive. There are cold beers available in the chest, but there are also the warm cans that are there on the shelves.
We had been to, I think it was Woodstock, Vermont, for a wedding up there in Lincoln, New Hampshire, mm-hmm. and there's a brewery there.
Woodstock Station.
And those brews are at Cappy's. Mm-hmm. I also...
yes, more so than ever, that it's I think part of the expansion of Woodstock Station is again getting the beer here. You could always find Pig's Ear, which is their brown
Pig's
ale.
Ear, yeah.
That's been very
yep.
very popular. But you're now getting some of their other selections in cans down here as well.
Even had Pig's Ear up at Gunstock on Friday.
There you go.
So there you go.
There you go. Yeah. I'm not a big brown ale fan myself. But I know some of my buddies really enjoyed it. We used to go on a camping trip up in usually the last week in September on the final week of camping at Lafayette Park. And we would spend Friday night and Saturday night at Woodstock Station. And enough said there.
Well, you could sleep there because they have rooms.
And one of my favorites was their red ale called Red Rack. Mm-hmm. And it was a delicious brew, and I will say I tested many glasses.
Well, I actually had the Pig's Ear with my ski buddy up on Friday. And then what was the other one? When my wife and I are up skiing in North Conway, we'll stop at Moat Mountain, and Moat Mountain yeah. has a beer called Bone Shaker.
Yeah.
And that also is at Cappy's, which just surprised me that these yeah. beers are available now outside the actual microbrewery.
Yeah, one of the things... as an example, Bentwater Brewery in Lynn who was delivering a lot of their beers locally, recently was able to link up with a distributor, which again is going to expand the area in which their beers will be be available. Mm-hmm. And that certainly is key for a lot of the local craft brewers to expand their market share and to bring in new customers.
Now back to the beer snob. You, I think, told me one time that Liam signed off with the same sign off all the time.
Yeah,
and this is to be sort of our topic today.
Yeah, Liam always signed off with "Never trust a beer you can see through," and because
meaning it's too watery or too light or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
No taste.
Yeah, it's, you know, because like most American beers are the big manufacturers, they're mainly pilsners or lagers, and they're not really heavy, and you can see through them. And of course, many of the craft beers, because of the ingredients and the aging process, tend to be a little darker. The double IPAs will be fruitier, more haze in them, so you can't see through them. And your darker, your big ales, your stouts, your porters are very dark because the malts are roasted longer. So you get that brown, almost black appearance in the beer. So you can see through those. And Liam went by the nickname the Beer Snob. And I always tell people Liam turned me into a beer snob. 15 years or more ago, as he kept introducing me to all these new beers that he was drinking, and I started drinking less of what I normally drank, which were American pilsners, and because they were much more flavorful, many more varieties, they really challenged your palate, okay, and it became a process of as we would sit down and have beers, whether it was just Liam and I, and they became the basis of a lot of long conversations at his house. And on a lot of occasions, his brother Tom would join us, and we'd share the beer, and we'd go through the process of evaluating the beers. And we would actually, at times, depending upon the beer, we would post a review on one of the sites like Beer Advocate. We would automatically post and rate the beers. Liam and I would go around to various brew pubs as they were opening, and we would critique. Even I still do it now.
Well, that's the point of this, is to be doing that. We want all thumbs up.
I go to a new brew pub, and I will sit there, and I'll order a flight or a couple of flights to get a few more beers. And for those who know, flights are just a row of
two
shot,
or 3 ounces.
But sometimes 4 ounces, depending upon, again, the brew pub. Might be 2.5, might sometimes be as much as 5 ounces. And you get a variety of tastes, and you if you do that, you always want to have a glass of water to cleanse your palate, and you never want to start off with the strongest beer. You want to end on the strongest beer. Example: you would never want to do a sour before you did a pilsner, because the sour just like destroys your taste buds, and you won't really get the flavors and the enjoyment of the other beers once you take a sour. And
I'm looking,
especially if you don't cleanse the palate, if you don't clean it off.
I'm looking forward to my first field trip with you. I really am.
I will take you.
All right.
I will take you.
So back to the see-through beer.
Okay. So I have to take issue with Liam's comment, never trust a beer you can see through, because again, in 2018, my wife and I, we went on a Viking River cruise, and we cruised the Danube River, and we went through we started in Hungary, we then went into Austria, and then to Germany, and on the boat, the main thing that they served were pilsners, and there were a variety of pilsners from different brewers. And they were all marvelous. And all of a sudden, from being exposed, and I'm sitting there at the bar, and I'm talking to the bartenders, and I'm going through the critique. I'm checking the nose and mouthfeel and how long it stays on the palate and the taste characteristics. And I really came to enjoy the Austrian and the Bavarian pilsners. They had really good, much more flavorful pilsners than American pilsners, which tend to, as I drink them, just have a very flat, consistent taste. And on a cold day, love Coors Light. I'll admit, a Coors Light on a real hot summer day, really cold, it just flows.
Mm-hmm.
It just flows down. But there's no appreciation of the beer. Does it cool you off? Yeah. But now when I drink beer, and I mainly drink beer, I do wine as well, so I don't do hard liquor, I want to...
We're not judging, Tim. We're just going over
I'm
beer.
Just saying, those are my preferences, as other people have their preferences.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have a beer that challenges my taste buds. As someone who drinks a lot of different wines, swishes the glass, you don't swish the beer, you... Look at the legs on the side of the glass to see how long the legs last on the side, how long it takes to drain down. You look at the color, and then you do a nose test. You do a slight taste to detect the tannins and the various other ingredients that have been placed in it, berry taste, things like that. And... You just don't slug it down.
Gulp, yeah.
You just don't gulp it down, you know, like you would a Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's happened now in the beer world. It's come to the point where I order a flight, especially when I've gone to a new establishment, and most of the bartenders know to set them up light to heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And you take it, and again, you don't swish it, but you want to put it to your nose, and you want to draw in the aromas. Can you identify certain ingredients that they have added? You can judge the hoppiness by the aroma, and again, you take a short sip. You want to swish it around. You want to see how it sits on the tip of your tongue. And beers, believe it or not, will change from the tip of your tongue to the back of your tongue. You'll get different sensations. You'll pick up different characteristics of the beer. You'll get a hint of the different ingredients that are in the beer from the tongue all the way to the back. Does it have a taste that sits up front and then fades away? Does it slide past the front of your tongue and sort of impact more the taste buds in the back of your tongue?
Okay.
Those are all things that happen when you try the different beers and as you go through. And I'll talk to the bartenders and I'll go, yeah, good. You know, I was expecting... The way it's advertised, the way you get up on the board,
something different. Yeah,
yeah. But and here are the ingredients that are in it. I was expecting a stronger taste from this, or I thought this was a bit overbearing. And you begin to sit down and you go You know, so Liam and I used to do that. We used to go to the beer pub and we'd sit there and we'd critique.
Well, we'll have to bring a camera with us. We'll have to bring a video with us. So
the funny thing, I think the real kind of fun, we went to, I won't name the brewery, but we went to my local when it first opened up, and there was a guy working behind the bar. It was his first day. He knew nothing about craft beer, and so Liam and I order flights. So we're going through the same beers, and we're evaluating the beers, and we're giving him feedback. And these two younger women came in and sat down next to us, and they started asking him, "So what should we drink?" And he looked at me and he said, "You're probably better asking those guys. They know a lot more than I do." So we sat there, and we talked to the girls about the beers, the different styles, the different flavors to expect. And so we shared what we knew, you know, with J&Q Public, so to speak. So it's a lot of fun. And you sit at the bar, and people you don't know, and it's a way of drawing people into conversations. Mm-hmm. There are several...
It's a social event.
There are several brew pubs that don't have televisions because they don't want you to watch TV. They want you to talk.
Right.
And a lot of them have, instead of tables for four, they have these long bench tables. And so you share table. Mm-hmm. So it invites conversation. It invites meeting the people that are going there. And the brew pubs themselves are much more family-oriented.
I want to bring it back here, Tim, as we close this out, to the Pilsner. Now, you mentioned the Pilsner that you enjoyed on your cruise. Is that something you remember the name of and you can recommend?
There's several that are available. There's Czech Urquell, which is one of the oldest Czech Pilsners. There's also Veltzen out of Germany, which is available at Cappy's. Which is very, very good. There's another one that's just my mind at the moment. But those are very good. Czech Urquell is okay. Very good. And it's interesting, both of those, Czech Urquell and Veltzen, have a very distinctive taste. But you put them side by side and you go, I can't tell which one is which. But each has a distinctive Pilsner taste, one being Czechoslovakian and one being German. The best, as I came home, I kept trying to find a Pilsner that would replicate the European taste. And I may have mentioned this in the last podcast, but Von Trapp out of Vermont, from the singing Von Trapp family, and it is made at their resort. Their Bavarian Pilsner is, it's where you're in Europe. Drinking that one, it brought me right back to the boat, right back to many of the restaurants and pubs that we visited, that I enjoyed the Pilsners. And when we went back to, again, Europe, this time we sailed from Amsterdam to Basel, Switzerland. Again, I really looked forward to those European Pilsners.
All right. Appreciate it. Do you have a sign-off that you've come up with yet? Or do we have to work on that?
I'm probably going to have to work on that.
But we can't use Liam's.
No, we can't. But if you can see through it, it's still it can still taste good.
All right. That is Tim Kearns, and this has been the Beer Pod on msonewsports.com.